So welcome everybody to the first presentation, Introducing Blended Learning and Reflecting on Where We Have Come From. So a quick overview of this section. We will be making the point that education has changed post-COVID and that as part of this change, blended learning is seen as the new normal. We will define blended learning by taking a first look at one definition, but over the course of the four sessions, we will look at a number of different blended learning definitions. We will also introduce you to the timeline BC before COVID, DC during COVID, and AC after COVID. And this timeline will appear throughout the entire course. We will briefly look at a reflect on the emergency remote teaching, and in particular, what we have learned from this period. And the key message is that it's time now for us to reflect on what has changed and where we would like to go in the future. And that will differ for each and every one of you. Education as we know it is changed. This is a headline from the World Economic Forum, and there have been many such articles written over the course of the last 2 years. The big difference is that during COVID, we used more and more digital technology, more and more learners were responsible for their own learning, and more teachers across the globe used a range of digital technologies that allowed them to reinvent their teaching. And this now is expected to impact on a change in how we teach and how our students learn going forward, and even how we assess our students' learning in the future. And things are already changing. This is a screen grab from a report from the Association for Learning Technology, ALT, in the United Kingdom, entitled Trends in Learning Technology, Key Findings at a Glance. And it's the second one there that I want you just to focus in on for a moment. And it says that blended and hybrid models are becoming the main mode of learning for 66% of our members. And their members are universities in the United Kingdom. So this is a mode of learning after COVID that is becoming more and more popular. You can also look at the other key findings from the report, and some of these are also very, very interesting for what we're going to be talking about on this course. Expectation that this would last. I'm often asked by people if what we experienced during COVID was a once off, or is it expected to continue? And what they mean is, will we continue to use online learning technologies as part of the mix going forward? And I think it's interesting that in that survey with ALT, 46%, and this was taken in March of this year, felt that it is a long-term change and that this is here to stay, and it's not a fad that's going to disappear now that we are slowly but surely edging back to full face-to-face classroom teaching. People are calling it the new normal. So this move to more use of online technologies in parallel with face-to-face teaching is now being seen as the new normal. And I suppose the question for us on this course to answer is, or to consider, is it the new normal? And if it is the new normal, what would it look like for us and our learners? Blended learning, the new normal. So in this context of the new normal, which is something that becomes a normal practice, blended learning is being touted as the practice that will become the new normal. And on this slide, I have a screen grab of a spectrum of different models of blended learning for K-12, that's primary and post-primary education, and higher education. Unfortunately, it does not include further education and training, because such graphics don't exist at the moment. Maybe it's something we should contribute to on this course. And at one end of the spectrum, we have the traditional face-to-face with no online components. And that was probably very prevalent before COVID. And then on the right-hand side, completely online, where there's no face-to-face or in-person teaching or learning. It's all online, and that is something that QQI are looking at for the further education and training sector. And in the middle, we have a range of different types of blends. You can read them there for yourself. And on the bottom, the higher education blended learning is probably more akin to what we would expect in further education and training. And we have things there like technology enhanced. We have the replacement model, where you take away some of the face-to-face and you might replace it with some online that could be done live on Teams, or it could be, that's probably what it would be, live on Teams. And then the next bit is mostly online, and you might come into the centre for some face-to-face. And again, we'll look at some examples of this in a while. But this is the spectrum of blended learning. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and you have lots of options. Blended learning. So what is a typical definition of blended learning? And here on this slide, I have a definition from a chap called Norberg, who is a Swedish academic who has written quite a lot recently on the topic of blended learning. And I like this definition that he shared some time ago. The term blended learning will probably never get a standard definition. That's important to keep in mind. But it is commonly understood as the combination of something traditional and something new and digital in courses. And in brackets, he puts the places where the courses take place, the course material types, so they can be digital and non-digital, communication tools, so there's a range of digital communication tools that we have, and pedagogies. So blended learning is a contested term, and that can be looked at as a positive because it gives us the freedom to explore and to play around with the different blends that we ourselves and our ETB can put in place. We have choices that we can make around the places where teaching and learning happens. We have choices we can make around the types of course materials that we're going to use, around the communication tools that we use, and the various pedagogies. And we're going to look at this in more detail over the next few weeks. So, going back to the spectrum, it is somewhere on that spectrum between no use of digital, that's the traditional, what's described in the literature as a traditional approach, teaching and learning approach, to fully online. And as I have said, we are going to unpack this over the next few weeks. BC, DC and AC. So to help us to reflect and to plan for the future, we are going to use this timeline which we developed at the beginning of COVID. And it's a timeline. And the first part of the timeline is BC, before COVID. And as I have mentioned already, that was when face-to-face or traditional approaches, as they are referred to, were dominant. And there was, it has to be acknowledged, there was blended learning taking place in some settings, particularly in higher education, and in some ETBs as well, where learners might have done a little bit of their content, might have been on Teams for them to review after a session, but it was very limited, and there was very little use of that approach in the main. Then we came to COVID. Right, March 2020. And here we initially were engaged in a thing called emergency remote teaching, which I must stress is very different from blended learning because we had no access to the face-to-face learning spaces or in our classrooms or workshops, etc., or training centres. And over the period of COVID, we had limited access to these spaces. And for some learners, they never actually got back into their face-to-face space fully after or during COVID. And now as we enter into this red zone, AC, after COVID, there is a re-emergence of blended learning. And there are new blends emerging, and they will emerge, where people will blend the face-to-face or the in-person with live online and self-directed. And that's where we're going to focus on. So let's consider a few things. And reflection is going to be a key part of this course, giving you time to think about what went on. And I want you to think carefully about these questions. So what happened before COVID? And why is there an expectation that education will be different? Or will it just go back to what what it always was, and what happened during COVID, and what can we learn from this period? Were there things that happened during COVID that actually were good for you and for your learners? And what were they? Were there some practices that you engaged in? Were there some tools that you used? Were there some practices that the learners engaged in that they quite liked? And could we now maybe reuse these in a blended way? And when we talk about blended learning, we need to ask ourselves, well, what are we talking about? What is it? And what is it in Tipperary ETB? And what is it in my classroom? And what is it looking with, like with my learners? And also, what is it not? And I suppose a key question is, why should we even consider engaging in it? And what might it look like? And just to say that you might have different blends depending on the group, the level they're at, the content you're teaching, etc. So these are some of the things I want you to start thinking about as we move through this session. BC, before COVID. So the dominant space or place for learning was the physical classroom or workshop. And on the left is an image from Aenthus. And you're all very familiar with those kind of spaces. You can see the adult learners are sitting around, they're sitting on their chairs, they have their technology in front of them. For the most part, it is paper and pen. And the instructor, the teacher is standing there and is engaging and interacting with the learners. But there was use of digital technology in many classrooms during or before COVID. And on the right, we see the learners here and they're using their devices. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're watching a presentation. But the key point is that the learners were in physical spaces predominantly, and they weren't learning online. DC, during COVID. Forced to teach remotely. So on this slide, I have a quote from a report, Online and Blended Delivery in Further Education, a literature review into pedagogy, including digital forms of assessment. And it was published in June 2021. And they write, ERT, emergency remote teaching, is used to describe the approaches to remote teaching and learning put in place during the COVID-19 pandemic as schools and colleges closed. And this is the important bit. It is a temporary shift of instructional delivery due to crisis circumstances, a rapid approach that is unable to make full use of quality online learning design approaches. This is very important. A lot of time people say to me, oh, but sure, what we did during COVID, we certainly don't want to go back to that. And of course, there were lots of problems with emergency remote teaching, and there were lots of challenges during emergency remote teaching. But we need to be clear in our head that when we're talking now about blended learning, that we are not equating it with some of those temporary shifts of instructional delivery that we were forced to engage in at the beginning of COVID. And that is an important piece to recognise if we want to move forward. Otherwise, if we keep equating emergency remote teaching with blended learning, we'll never achieve anything. So also contained in the Hammer and Smith report are a number of areas that students found beneficial from using digital technology during COVID-19. And I'm going to read them out. And you will see from all of these that they are about structure and they're about giving learners opportunities to do more of the learning on their own. The first one, opportunities to book short sessions with the tutor for personalized support. Hugely important, and I would say something that could still be retained as we now move into the future. Weekly set activities and assignments for students to complete in their own time, 73%. Again, this idea of structure. And from my own experience with Hibernia College over the years, students like that. They like to know what I need to do, when it needs to be completed by, and we'll see another example of that in a few moments. Opportunities to work collaboratively with peers online. One of the biggest challenges about online learning is isolation and students procrastinating and dropping out. So When they were put in teams or in pairs to work together, they liked that 69%. And again, this is something we would urge you in this course to really consider. How can you use a platform like Teams for collaboration? That's what it was built for. Timetabled pre-recorded lessons. So again, this idea that lessons were pre-recorded and they were shared at a particular time with students, they liked that. And again, going forward, maybe you might take that, you might use that slightly differently. You might pre-record some content and share it with them before you meet them, or after a particular live event, if something interesting happened, you could record that and share it with them again. And you could do all this through Teams. Reduce timetable and shorten lessons to support independent study. Again, online, initially people found that the amount of time that they were interacting with their learners was too long. People were getting lost, they were getting bored, they were getting tired. So the idea of redesigning the lesson, that instead of having a 2-hour online, that you might have a shorter presentation, given in advance, some independent study investigation, and then time together, which would be maybe 60 or 90 minutes, worked much better in 66% like that. And the final one was that activities and assessments set weekly for students to complete via structured timetable. Again, that word structured. So when we are thinking about a tool like Teams and you build in structure for the learners, it gives them that scaffold. They know what's expected, they know when it's expected, and they like that. So can we think about how we might use that now as we're back in our classrooms? And then we come to AC after COVID, which is hopefully the period we're in at the moment, where blended and online learning will be to the fore. And here we're talking about blending in-person learning experiences, where they have that social aspect of face-to-face in-person learning, that traditional space. So we're going to augment it with new spaces. These are going to be predominantly online spaces or online tools where learners can connect with their content, their fellow learners, they can connect with their teacher and the world. So it's giving them added choice, it's expanding their world, and it's a mix of these two worlds. And actually what we're looking for here a lot of the time is trying to put together the best of both of these worlds. So COVID-19 removed the in-person teaching and learning for a while from us. And again, for some people, this lasted longer than others, and it was a global phenomenon. And what it showed us was that even though we weren't in the same room or the same space as our learners, we were still able to teach in a different way, of course, than when we were in that space with them. And also our learners, for the most part, were able to learn. And we'll look at that in a moment. So thinking about now that we are back with after COVID and we have access to these spaces again, how are we best going to use that in-person space, that social aspect? What are we going to do, the same things that we did before in this space, or are we going to tweak it? And I would hope that you're saying, yeah, I'm going to tweak it. And that's where blended learning is going to come into play. So lots of blends were in play during COVID-19. So again, reflecting back and thinking about what we did and thinking about what are the bits that worked well and what are the bits that didn't work as well, here are some reminders of what people did. So on the left hand, top left there, we have live virtual meeting. And you may have met your learners live like this. You might have connected with them and you might have shared content with them. You might have just had a chat. The learners themselves may have met each other. They might have connected formally or informally while the course was ongoing. On the right there is an example of some material asynchronous. You might have shared using Teams, you might have sent them a video to watch, you might have sent them a reading to read, you might have sent them a podcast to listen to. And there was a lot of that happened during COVID, and we also used older media. They were part of the blend. People sent home books and also people sent home learning packs, which they created themselves. And there was a lot of connecting with learners using mobile phones. And mobile phones are something that we should be thinking about actively now as we return. People recorded feedback, they recorded messages on their mobile phones for their learners, and they sent those to them on the phone. So lots of different blends were in play. And again, the question is, which of these worked well and which could you see yourself continuing to reuse or to use in a slightly different way now that we're returning after COVID? So the big challenge was undoubtedly online learning. For many of you, you had never experienced online teaching before. And I know myself, it's a very daunting experience. That was what I actually did my own doctoral research in. I remember the first time that I had to teach live online with a group of 40 teachers. It was a daunting event and it raised questions for me, and hence it became the focus of my research. And on the right hand side there, you have an example from the Wellington High School of advice, and there was lots of this shared with people during COVID on how to have a routine, because learners had to have a slightly different experience from what they did in the face-to-face classroom. It wasn't enough to just take what you did in your face-to-face in that traditional space and put it online. No, that didn't work. We needed a different model. And the question now is, what parts of online worked well, having the learners online, live or asynchronous, that you could use as part of your blend going forward? New emerging practices. So I'm going to share five emerging practices here with you. I'm only going to briefly comment on them here because we are actually going to go back over these over the course of the 4 weeks. And I'm going to start now by talking about many teachers. The first one, many teachers developed deeper connections with some students. So you all probably experienced this, that there are quieter students in our classrooms. They are the ones who go under the radar. They don't cause any trouble. They don't ask any questions often, and they just coast along. And sometimes we find at the end of the year that they didn't do as well as we thought. But during COVID, these students were actually able to engage more. It gave them a new channel to engage. They were able to send texts. They were able to respond anonymously to tools like Padlet and maybe to a Kahoot quiz and other things. So this was a channel that opened up a way of communication for quieter students. Number two, many staff and students welcomed the flexibility of remote teaching and learning in relation to the time, when they learned, the place, where they learned, and the pace, how they went over the material. And this is again is a huge positive factor for blended learning, because it allows the learners in their own time, in their own place, and in their own pace to go back over material or to prepare material in advance. So this worked really well. The next one, students were required to take greater ownership of their own learning to become more self-regulated learners. Now, this one is a positive and a negative. Those students who were able to master this and who were equipped to take more ownership of their learning, who went off and went through the material on their own, they had greater success. But it is clear that this form of learning, where learners take greater ownership, is something that we all need to develop going forward. So we will need to think about how we can give them support, particularly those learners who struggled with this in the future. Next one, new models of teaching, learning and assessment emerged. The flipped classroom being one of them, where material was shared with the learners in advance. Might have been you asked them to look at a PowerPoint or read an article or to engage with a podcast to listen to it. And then when you had the live session, instead of sharing the content, you used that time to put them into breakout rooms for discussion. We'll talk a lot about the flipped classroom. And the final one was it allowed staff to monitor student performance, formative assessment. So here people use lots of tools like Kahoot, Nearpod, Microsoft Forms, where they actually gave little quizzes to their learners and they could see immediately, not at the end of the module, but they could see how people were getting on, and if people needed more help, this flagged where the help was needed and they were able to react in a timely fashion. So these are five emerging practices that I want you to think about. Did this happen for you? And are there any of these that you would be particularly interested in? Again, part of this reflection. Time to reflect and to reconsider. This is a quote from a recent blog from EduCause, who write a lot for the area of adult education, particularly higher ed. And the blog is called, and I've shared it in the materials, Designing the New Normal, Enable, Engage, Elevate and Extend Student Learning. And they write, at the same time, instructors and students have changed during the pandemic and are coming back to the classroom with new skills and different perspectives. As a result, rather than resuming business as usual, instructors should take inventory of what went well during emergency remote teaching, as well as what they missed most about in-person teaching when they were apart from their students, and begin to blend the two to design the new normal. So we started this presentation with a slide on the new normal and asking the question, is blended learning going to be the new normal? And here, this is another example of the importance of looking back critically at what we have been doing and considering how we can borrow from this and add it into the traditional approaches that we were probably using before COVID, so that we are creating a more blended approach or blended learning. So we're at the end of the first presentation, and as I have outlined from the outset, we're going to engage in some reflection. And this is the question I'd like you to think about. It's also going to be your Padlet wall activity for this week. So I'd like you to maybe think about it now and over the next while, and when you're ready, then share some thoughts on Padlet, which will be anonymous. So the first one is, what went well during emergency remote teaching? That's the first thing. Some of you I'm hearing you saying not much, but look, if that's your view as well, share it with me on the Padlet wall. It's important to hear what went on. And then the next one is, what you missed most about in-person teaching when you were away from your students during emergency remote teaching. And also then consider how you might begin to blend these two elements to design the new normal. So really there I'm after, what are the bits that you think are best done in the centre with your learners, and what bits might be done from a distance, even just some initial ideas to get us started. So looking forward to chatting and seeing what you have to say about these questions on the Padlet wall.